You know, it's kind of hard to miss, isn't it? AI. It seems to be popping up more and more in healthcare. And the possibilities, well, they seem really exciting. Thinking about better access for everyone, perhaps, and tools that could really give doctors an edge, even just getting personalized health info, you know, without leaving your couch.
Yeah, that potential is definitely there. Huge potential, actually. But I mean, when we're talking about something as critical as health, we really need to be sure these AI language models, these LLMs, can actually deliver. How do we test them? How do we know if they're trustworthy, if the evaluation is, well, meaningful?
Exactly. Because, you know, the old ways of checking this stuff, like multiple choice tests, they just don't
Yes.
feel like they capture the whole picture anymore, right?
Not for these complex conversational AIs, no.
So that's where this new thing called Health Bench comes into the picture. It's open source, a new benchmark specifically designed to, well, tackle these
Yeah.
problems. And get it was developed with input from, what, 262 physicians?
That's right, from 60 different countries. A really significant global collaboration.
Wow. Having that kind of medical insight baked right in. That sounds different.
It really is. It suggests a shift towards evaluating these models in ways that are much, much closer to actual clinical practice, you know?
Okay, let's unpack this then,
Yeah.
because that's what this deep dive is all about, really understanding Health Bench. We're going to look at how it works, what they found when they tested a bunch of the latest AI models, and importantly, what it all suggests for the future of AI in healthcare.
Yeah.
So if you're looking to get a solid handle on this and quickly you're in the right place, should be some interesting aha moments here.
Absolutely. And what's really core to Health Bench, what makes it different, is how it evaluates. Forget those static multiple choice questions. This uses 5,000 realistic multi-turn conversations.
Multi-turn, so like a real back and forth.
Exactly. It simulates the kind of dialogue you or maybe a doctor might actually have with an AI about a health issue.
Okay, that already feels more real world. So just a single question, single answer.
Precisely. And the way these conversations are evaluated is also novel. For every single one of those 5,000 dialogues, physicians created specific scoring guides or rubrics. We're talking 48,562 unique criteria in total.
Whoa, okay. 48,000 criteria. That's incredibly detailed.
It is. It moves way beyond a simple right-wrong answer. These criteria are tailored to the specifics of that particular conversation.
Right, so they're looking at very specific things within the context of that interaction,
Yeah.
not just a generic checklist.
You got it. And this detailed approach is what allows Health Bench to aim for being more meaningful. The idea is that the scores better reflect how useful that AI response would actually be in a real open-ended situation.
Okay, meaningful. That makes sense. What else?
It also aims to be trustworthy. The scores are validated directly against physician judgment, and critically, it's designed to be unsaturated.
Unsaturated meaning.
Meaning, even the best current AI models don't ace it. There's still plenty of room for them to improve. So the benchmark stays useful for driving progress.
Got it. Okay, so meaningful, trustworthy, unsaturated. How does the actual scoring work with those 48,000 criteria? Walk me through it.
Sure. So for a given conversation, the doctors wrote down specific criteria. Some reward positive things, like did the AI include this key fact? Was the explanation clear? Others penalize negative things. Did it introduce a misconception? Did it miss a critical warning sign?
And these criteria have different weights, I assume.
Exactly. Each one gets a point value from negative to 10 for something really bad, up to plus 10 for something really important and positive.
So missing an emergency referral queue would be heavily penalized, for example.
Precisely. Then they use a model-based grader, another AI, essentially that's been carefully validated against how physicians score. This grader checks the AI's response against each criterion for that conversation. Did it meet it? Yes or no?
Okay.
If a criterion is met, the response gets the points assigned to it. The final score for that conversation is the sum of all the points earned divided by the maximum possible points for that specific scenario.
Right, so it's a percentage score based on hitting those detailed weighted points.
Correct. It gives you a nuanced score reflecting the quality of the response in that context.
That sounds comprehensive. But does it just boil down to one final number per model?
Well, there is an overall score, yes. But Health Bench is designed for deeper analysis, too. It groups the conversations into seven different themes, things like emergency referrals, global health topics, or tasks involving health data.
Ah, so you can see if a model is generally good, but maybe struggles specifically with, say, interpreting patient data correctly.
Exactly that. It helps pinpoint strengths and weaknesses across different types of healthcare interactions.
Okay, themes. What else?
It also analyzes performance along five axes. These are dimensions of behavior. Think, accuracy, completeness, the quality of communication, context awareness, and how well it follows instructions.
So, beyond a topic, you can see how it's performing. Is it accurate, but maybe not very thorough? Or good at communicating, but misses context?
Precisely. It gives a much more granular view than just a single score. You can see why a model scores the way it does.
This is really useful. It feels like a proper diagnostic tool for these AI models, not just a final grade. So what did they find? What were the big insights when they ran the models through HealthBench?
Well, one of the most striking things is just the sheer speed of progress recently. It's quite remarkable. The benchmark clearly shows a really significant jump in scores over a pretty short period.
Like, how significant?
Okay, so for context, a model from September 2024, GPT-4o, scored around 32% on HealthBench. Fast forward to April 2025, and a newer model, O3, hit 60%.
Wow, 32% to 60%. That's nearly double in, what, 6 or 7 months?
Exactly. It suggests these models are getting substantially better quite quickly at handling these complex health conversations. For you listening, that means the AI might be getting much better at understanding your query or suggesting useful follow-up questions for your doctor.
That's genuinely impressive progress.
And here's another interesting bit. It's not just the giant models. Smaller models are improving rapidly, too. They found a model called GPT 4.1 Nano actually outperformed the older, larger GPT-4o.
The smaller one did better.
Yes, and crucially, it did so at a much lower cost, something like 25 times cheaper to run.
Okay, that's huge for accessibility, right? Having capable AI that doesn't cost a fortune to use.
Absolutely. It opens doors for deploying these tools more widely, perhaps in lower resource settings.
Makes sense. What about those themes you mentioned? Did the models perform equally well across all types of conversations?
No, there were definite patterns. Generally, models scored highest on themes like emergency referrals.
Good place to be strong.
Definitely. And also, when tailoring communication, like explaining things simply to a layperson versus more technically to a professional.
Okay. Where did they struggle more?
Areas like context seeking, meaning asking for more information when needed that was weaker. Also, tasks involving health data analysis and, interestingly, global health issues.
So, good at spotting the emergency, maybe less good at asking the right follow-up questions to get the full picture, or handling diverse global health contexts.
That seems to be the pattern, yes. It shows where development still needs to focus.
And the axes, accuracy, completeness, etc. Any trends there?
Yeah, generally, completeness and context awareness tended to score lower across most models compared to, say, accuracy or communication quality.
So they might give an accurate answer, but maybe not the whole answer, or they might miss some nuance from the conversation history.
That's a good way to put it. Although, it's worth noting, the newest model, O3, showed a big jump specifically in completeness. So progress is being made there, too.
Getting better at giving the full story, not just a quick factoid.
Okay. They also looked at this interesting trade-off, performance versus cost. You know, how much you pay to run the AI versus how well it does.
The performance cost frontier, right?
Exactly. And the April 2025 models like O3, O4 Mini, GPT 4.1 really pushed that frontier. They defined a new sweet spot with better performance for the cost.
Better bang for your buck, essentially.
Pretty much. And they also found that using more complex reasoning techniques like chain of thought,
where the AI kind of thinks step by step.
Right. That can boost performance further, even if it uses slightly more computational resources, more tokens.
So sometimes it's worth paying a little extra compute for the AI to, well, think harder, especially in healthcare.
It seems so, yeah. Which leads to another critical point, reliability.
Hugely important in medicine. Mm-hmm. You can't have an AI that's great most of the time, but gives terrible advice occasionally.
Absolutely not. So they looked at worst-case performance using a metric called worst at K. Basically, how bad is the worst response you might get over several tries?
Okay, looking at the lower end of performance.
And the newer models, again like O3, showed really significant improvements here compared to older ones like GPT-4o. Much more reliable.
That's reassuring. But are they perfect?
Definitely not. Even the top models still have room to improve in consistently avoiding those poor responses. That reliability gap is still something to watch because, as you said, that one bad answer could have serious consequences for someone listening, for you.
A critical point. Even near perfect isn't perfect enough sometimes. What else did the scores show?
Well, a distribution of scores across the 5,000 examples in HealthBench is interesting. Most examples seem to be moderately difficult. There aren't too many GIMS that all models solved easily, nor too many impossibly hard ones.
So the test isn't too easy or too hard. It's still a good measuring stick for future progress.
That's the idea. It suggests HealthBench has good headroom. It can continue to differentiate between models as they improve further.
Okay. Did they look at things like, does the AI just get better scores by writing longer answers?
They did look into that. And while there was some correlation between response length and score for certain models like O3,
Longer answers tended to be slightly better.
sometimes, yes, but it wasn't the whole story. When they controlled for length, comparing responses of similar lengths, the newer, better model still scored higher.
So it's not just verbosity. They're actually providing more thoughtful, higher quality content within that length.
Exactly. It suggests genuine improvement in reasoning and relevance, not just padding. You want helpful info, not just more words.
Definitely don't want chatbots that just ramble on. Good.
HealthBench also has these interesting subsets. One is called HealthBench Consensus.
Consensus, meaning.
It focuses on 34 specific critical criteria where there was strong agreement among multiple physicians about their importance. Things like, definitely recommending emergency care when warranted.
The really non-negotiable stuff.
Pretty much. And the good news is they saw a significant drop in error rates on these consensus points with the newer models, especially in those emergency scenarios.
That's fantastic, getting the critical stuff right more often.
Yes. But challenges remain even within consensus, particularly around context seeking, asking for more info, and handling uncertainty appropriately.
So, better on the clear emergencies, still work needed on the nuances and asking the right questions.
That sums it up well. And then there's one more subset, HealthBench Hard.
Okay, sounds challenging.
It is. It's a collection of 1,000 particularly difficult examples drawn from the main set. And here, even the best model tested, O3, only achieved a score of around 32%.
32% on the hard stuff.
Yep. Which really underscores that while progress is rapid, there are still significant hurdles to overcome for AI to handle the truly complex, nuanced reasoning required in many healthcare situations. Lots of headroom there.
Right, so impressive gains, but we're definitely not done yet, especially on the tough cases. Now, one thing that's always interesting is comparing AI to human experts. Did HealthBench look at that?
They did, and it's one of the most fascinating parts, I think. They had physicians actually write responses to the HealthBench conversations.
As a baseline.
Exactly, both with and without AI assistance to create a really strong comparison point.
How do the humans stack up?
Well, for the older AI models, the ones from September 2024, physicians could generally improve on their responses.
Okay, they could add value, make them better, especially in completeness and accuracy, the paper notes.
Right. Which kind of makes sense. You'd expect a human expert to refine an older AI's output.
Sure. But what about the newer models?
This is where it gets really interesting. When physicians were shown the responses from the newer April 2025 models like GPT 4.1 and O3, they were generally unable to improve upon them.
Unable. As in, the AI's response was already as good as they could make it.
In many cases, yes. The physicians judged the AI's response to be essentially complete and accurate, leaving little room for enhancement. It strongly suggests that, at least for certain types of interactions captured by HealthBench, these latest models are reaching near expert or even expert level quality.
Wow, that's quite a statement. An AI response that a doctor can't improve on.
It is pretty remarkable. It hints that for some tasks, AI might be ready to provide genuinely high quality initial responses or suggestions.
Now, they did mention the doctors writing responses without AI help didn't score quite as high, right?
That's true. Their unassisted responses were somewhat weaker in this specific format, but the researchers rightly caution against reading too much into that.
Why is that?
Well, writing chatbot style responses isn't a typical task for a physician. Their usual communication style is different, and their unassisted responses tended to be much shorter.
Right, so it's not a perfect apples to apples comparison of overall medical knowledge, but more about performance within this specific conversational task. Fair enough.
Exactly. It's about the quality achieved in this format.
Okay, so the AI is getting really good, potentially matching experts in some cases. But how reliable is the evaluation itself? How do we trust the HealthBench scores?
Great question. They actually did a meta evaluation focusing on that HealthBench consensus subset we talked about.
checking the checkers, basically.
Kind of, yeah. They compared the scores given by that automated model-based grader with scores given by human physicians evaluating the exact same criteria on the exact same responses.
Okay, so AI grader versus human grader.
Precisely. They used a metric called the macro F1 score to measure the level of agreement. High agreement means the AI grader is scoring similarly to how doctors score.
And what did they find? Was the AI grader on the same page as the docs?
The results were actually very strong. The GPT 4.1 model they used as a grader achieved agreement levels with physicians that were similar to the agreement levels between different physicians.
Wow. So the AI agreed with the humans about as much as the humans agreed with each other.
Yes. And in several themes, the AI grader exceeded the agreement level of the average individual physician compared to the group consensus.
Okay, that's quite validating for the benchmark scoring method.
It really is. It provides strong evidence that the health bench scores are trustworthy and reflect physician-level judgment on these criteria.
And they also mentioned consistency.
Yeah. They checked if the overall scores changed much if they ran the evaluation multiple times. They found very low variability.
Meaning the scores are stable and robust, not just random noise.
Correct. It adds another layer of confidence in the benchmark's results.
Okay, so wrapping this up, what's the bottom line here? What does HealthBench tell us overall?
I think the bottom line for you, for anyone interested in this space, is that HealthBench looks like a genuinely valuable new tool. It helps the AI research community and the healthcare world get a much more realistic, trustworthy picture of how these LLMs are performing on health-related tasks.
It feels like it's moving the goalposts for evaluation in a good way, a more meaningful way.
I agree. And it clearly highlights the incredibly rapid progress that's being made. Those score jumps are undeniable.
Yeah, that 32% to 60% jump really stuck with me.
But it also clearly shows where the limitations still are. The researchers themselves are quick to point this out. We still need much more research, especially real-world clinical studies, to see how these models actually impact workflows and, most importantly, patient outcomes.
Right. The benchmark is super useful, but it's not the same as seeing it work safely and effectively day in, day out in a hospital or clinic.
Exactly. The lab is not the messy reality of healthcare.
So significant strides, particularly in accuracy, communication, maybe reliability?
Yes, but still considerable headroom, as they say, for improvement, especially in that complex reasoning, consistent reliability across the board, and handling all the subtleties of real medical situations.
Well, this has been a really fascinating deep dive into HealthBench. It certainly clarified a lot for me about how we evaluate AI in healthcare and just how fast things are moving.
The key takeaway, I think, is that HealthBench offers this more insightful, reliable lens. It shows impressive recent gains, but also clearly maps out the road ahead, the areas needing serious work.
So, thinking about that road ahead, here's maybe a final thought for you, the listener, to mull over. Given these rapid advancements that HealthBench has surfaced, what do you see as the most exciting, maybe even transformative applications for these increasingly capable AIs in healthcare's future?
And perhaps, what ethical considerations become even more critical as these models get smarter and more integrated into our health journeys? It's a field evolving at lightning speed. Tools like HealthBench are vital for guiding that evolution responsibly. And for anyone who wants to dig even deeper, the research paper and the actual code for HealthBench are publicly available. Definitely worth exploring.